Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at gracecurleyshow.com.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us, and a happy Monday to all of you. I hope you had a fabulous weekend. We have a lot to get to today. Luckily, I have some great guests planned for you who are going to help us unpack all of the news of the day. That would be Bradley Jay from Breitbart News, and we have Ari Hoffman from the Post Millennial joining us to talk all things Israel, Hamas. And we're going to break down these big stories, starting with the Democrats' latest meltdown in Texas, their latest temper tantrum. They've left the building and they've gone to Illinois. They fled the state of Texas like the cowards that they are. And the impetus for this latest bit of courageous theater, because it's the only way I can describe it. Everything they do now is theater. It's all like live street theater that we're just watching unfold. And it makes everyone uncomfortable because we know what's happening. We know you just want to go viral. You know, I saw a headline the other day about Jasmine Crockett, who we're going to get to in a second here, about how being in Congress is just a side gig to her being an influencer. And that really does sum up not all politicians, but a lot of politicians right now. They're far more interested in being influencers and making money and being on Instagram and being on Twitter than they are about actually doing their jobs. That's why they spend, like Eric Swalwell spends so much time making TikToks. Highly choreographed, highly cringeworthy TikToks. Because it's all
about... You can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
It's all about the likes. And so Governor Greg Abbott has this push to redistrict the congressional map in Texas. And Democrats only like gerrymandering. That's the word of the day, gerrymandering. This is like Sesame Street. When it's in their favor. When they think it's going to benefit. When they think it's going to benefit them, if it's in California, if it's in Illinois, they're all for it. They see no issue with it. They think that's wonderful. But when they're watching this unfold and they're saying, wait a second, this is something we do to benefit us. This is not cool if Republicans do it. Now they are denying the governor a quorum by running away to Illinois, which as Bonchi, and he has a few great articles everyone should check out today at Red State, as he put it, the irony of these people fleeing to Illinois, the state that is arguably the most gerrymandered in the country, is just perfection. In fact, Cheryl Cole, she's a representative from Texas. I never heard of her until today. She represents District 46 in Texas. She tweets out a picture of her in front of a chartered jet. And that's the power of a jet, Taylor, which is like, it doesn't matter how antithetical the jet is to everything you proclaim to care about. If you get yourself in front of a jet, you're going to take a picture. It doesn't matter if everything your party stands for is like anti-jet, anti-carbon emission fuel smoke, gas emissions that are going to hurt the earth, all that really, really bad stuff. The power of the jet is you step in front of it and you say to the person next to you, you get a picture of me? Can you get a picture
of me? It's the only choice for somebody like me.
Get a picture of me in front of the mini stairs. Show everyone that I don't have to go through TSA. Show everyone that I'm on the tarmac before I get in. We've all been there. Even I took a picture once near a private jet I didn't even get to fly on. I just went inside of it and stood in it and said, can someone take a picture of me? And I will post it and pretend that I flew on this thing. But see, I don't lecture people on the dangers of climate change. So it's particularly funny when people who claim to care so much about the earth can't resist not only taking a picture in front of a private jet, but then tweeting it out. And no one on her team is like, eh, maybe we just let people think that you were flying.
Oh, you didn't get the memo. We were trying to keep this cool, like try to keep it on the DL.
Yeah, like we're trying to let people think that you are with the riffraff at United. as Bernie Sanders might say. What, you think I'm just sitting online with people at United? Just sitting there waiting for the plane to come? It's pish-posh. It's ridiculous. But that's the image they want to portray until they see the jet, and then it's like, oh, this is so flipping cool. Take a picture. Get that picture of me. Get a couple. I gotta send it into my family group chat. So this lady, Cheryl Cole, takes a picture, and she tweets out, I'm heading to Chicago right now. Chicago! She's heading to Chicago to stop this rigged redistricting process. What a place to go to fight redistricting. What a place to go to stand up against corruption.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
Like, I want to go to a place. Chicago, I need a haven Chicago, away from this corruption, from this gerrymandering. Where is the place for me? Chicago. It's perfect. And they've never let irony or hypocrisy or double standards stand in the way of their hysterics. When they have a mission, when they are performing, nothing is getting in their way. There's no common sense. There's no little staffer there who can say, you know, I was thinking, is Illinois really the best place for this? Should we really be going to the most gerrymandered state in the country to make a point about gerrymandering? That staffer would be told, shut up. We're having fun. This is all about fun. We're getting a lot of attention. And the Texas Democrat Jasmine Crockett, you might know her. She once called Greg Abbott Governor Hot Wheels because he's in a wheelchair. And she's becoming one of the leaders of the floundering Democrat Party. She actually is one of the main reasons, I think, that they're going so quickly, that their descent is happening at a rapid pace. She accidentally said the quiet part out loud. So she's been doing media hits because they're all these Democrats are very upset about Governor Greg Abbott. And this is what she had to say on MSNBC. This is cut three.
There was a benefit to shining a light on what it was that they were trying to do in the dark in Texas. So unfortunately, we've seen our numbers fall now that they have these voter restrictions in place.
The voter restrictions that she's referring to are, it's the fact that you have to show an ID for a mail-in ballot. Now, why would that be? Let's all
Racism.
Well, that's what your first guess would be. But I want to take it a step further. I want to really try to understand this. Take it step by step. Why would Democrat numbers, why would Democrat voters be going down when a voter ID is required for a mail-in ballot? Why would that be? Why would an ID being required suddenly cause all these Democrat votes to dry up? That is a mystery. And if anyone has any ideas on how to solve this mystery, I would put it as one of the great enigmas that we're never going to figure out. The SCOTUS leak, the J6 bomb. I don't know if we'll ever know the answer. You would have to be someone with a really high IQ. I'm talking Hunter Biden, Joe Biden kind of IQ. And Lord knows I don't possess that.
The world may never know.
We're never going to figure it out. They also keep saying Republicans are running scared, which is just a weird term to use when you are the actual people running out of the state. Like, oh, they're running scared, but you're fleeing Texas and running for cover. Now, speaking of gamesmanship, that's not all. President Trump also having none of Senator Chuck Schumer's political blackmail, because over the weekend, he told him to go to hell. So Dems aren't just refusing to join this special session in Texas and do their jobs as a way to deny Governor Greg Abbott a quorum. They're also refusing to vote on any of Trump's nominees, his 150 nominees, his highly qualified nominees. They don't want to do that. And so instead, Senator Chuck Schumer, I guess, proposed a little bit of blackmail. He wanted to make a deal with the guy who wrote The Art of the Deal. I don't think Chuck Schumer could ever write anything called The Art of the Deal. He could write The Art of the Hamburger. And, you know, there would have to be a lot of chapters on what to do once you get very sick. But I don't think The Art of the Deal is happening for Chuck Schumer. So they're refusing to confirm Trump's nominees. And Trump has accused Chuck of demanding over $1 billion for left-wing pet projects and God knows what. I'm sure there's like a hamster who needs surgery somewhere in Pakistan that Chuck Schumer is very concerned about. Harvard needs to send an air conditioning unit to somebody in Zimbabwe. And Chuck Schumer...
It gets hot there.
Chuck Schumer wants to make it happen. And so Trump just tells him to go to hell. He says no deal, in other words. And I actually wanted to play Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, who also was commenting on this over the weekend. This is a cut six.
President Trump started trying to negotiate with Chuck Schumer, trying to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We'll make a deal with you guys. Just let my noms, especially the non-controversial ones. I mean, these nominees that no one even knows what they do, but I mean, we know what they do, but the American public doesn't know what they do. But these non-controversial noms, let them be pushed through. Let them go on. And what do you need? What's the price for it? They wanted over $1 billion. $1 billion for special pet programs. That's unheard of. And President Trump told them to go pound sand. He said, we're not doing it. Go pound sand. After 3 days of negotiating, I mean, I'm talking about tough negotiations. Finally, President Trump said, go pound sand. Forget it. Senate, go home. Let's regroup. When we come back, we're going to change the rules.
Yeah, and that's what we'll get to later in the show, how that works, changing the rules. We'll ask Bradley J. about that. But I would love to see the list of what Chuck Schumer wants to spend this $1 billion on. Can I give you guys a hint? I hate to be a spoiler, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to give you guys a hint. I don't know exactly what these projects were, but I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that they were not going to benefit you in any way. If you're an American citizen listening to this program right now, Chuck Schumer did not have you in mind when he was trying to blackmail Trump for $1 billion. Somebody's going to benefit from it. Some CEO of some nonprofit or some European country or, you know, some gerbil that's going through a transition was going to benefit from it, but it wasn't going to be you. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. I wouldn't lose any sleep over this. I don't think the $1 billion was going to be helpful to most of us. The other big story, and shame on me for not leading with this, because I keep watching all these news programs today, and this does seem to be the headline that's grabbing the most attention. The Sidney Sweeney meltdown continues.
Is this still going on?
It's still going on because over the weekend, and you know what, Taylor, get the dun-dun-dun ready. Over the weekend, there were two really shocking revelations about Sidney Sweeney. If you're not familiar with her, she's a movie star.
Oh, she took off the jacket.
All right. Take it easy. Your wife listens to the program. She doesn't appreciate all these comments you make.
I could not go for that punchline.
Sidney Sweeney. She's very beautiful, bombshell, movie star, model. She's doing the ad with American Eagle. I don't think I need to run you guys by this. If you missed it, listen to the Friday podcast. And again, I tried to keep Taylor in line. It is a family show, but there's only so much I can do. He's a red-blooded male. What can I say? So Sidney Sweeney not only is doing this ad with American Eagle, and she not only is really pretty and a lot of people like her, a lot of men like her specifically, but it gets worse. I knew she was very good at fixing cars. I knew that was like a hobby of hers, is that she fixes cars. She also is really good at shooting guns. And there was a video that went viral of her at a gun range this weekend. She's very talented at that. And she's a registered Republican in Florida. So all's to say, the people that like Sidney Sweeney are now fully in love with Sidney Sweeney. And the people that want to destroy Sidney Sweeney are, you know, just sitting at home making TikToks about how she made a pun in an ad that they didn't like. But Trump weighed in. We'll get to that when we come back. He's a big fan of Sidney Sweeney, too. But when I saw this thing about her shooting guns and I watched the video, I just pictured all these guys being like, we already love her. We're already obsessed. You don't need to convince us anymore. We got it. But they want to cancel her. And the funny thing is that I think that time period is over. I don't think that works anymore. I don't think people, because when you think about American Eagle, like they put out an ad, they're like, we had Sidney Sweeney in an ad with jeans on. Like, she looks great. Not going to apologize for it. There's no benefit to them apologizing.
They're there. You look.
The only mistake American Eagle or Sidney Sweeney could make is if they come out and bend the knee at all. That's the only way this goes bad for them. Otherwise, it's to the moon. Otherwise, there's the stock's up for American Eagle. She's making all these new fans. She's going to be unstoppable. They're having more publicity than they could ever dream of. So it's really a perfect combination. All right, we will be right back. We'll take your calls. It's 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Actress Sydney Sweeney came out speaking that she was a registered Republican. Any thoughts on that?
That who was?
Sydney Sweeney. She's like a very hot actress right
she's
now.
She's a registered Republican?
Yes.
Oh, now I love her ad. Is that right? Is Sydney Sweeney? You'd be surprised at how many people are Republicans. That's what I wouldn't have known, but I'm glad you told me that. If Sydney Sweeney is a registered Republican, I think her ad is fantastic. Okay, thank you very much, everybody.
This is reminding me of, you're telling me this for the first time. I'm ready for Tiny Dancer to start playing in the background. That's Donald Trump reacting to the controversy surrounding Sydney Sweeney. I also saw Vice President J.D. Vance commented, and something he said, which really rang true to me. He said, if you're getting mad about a pretty girl in jeans, it says a lot more about you than it does about us. In other words, the Democrats, once again, picking the wrong side of an issue. Picking the wrong side of an issue. And, you know, when Stephen Colbert asked Kamala Harris, who's the leader of the Democrat Party? And she was like, I am, Stephen. There are so many leaders. There's so many. It's hard to choose. If there was a leader right now who's worth their salt at all, that leader would be saying, stop this. Stop this right now. Like, you get the first little, you hear the first little rumbling of we're mad at Sydney Sweeney, and you go, hey, we just spent $8 million trying to figure out why men are leaving this party. You leave Sydney Sweeney alone. What is this, a suicide mission?
Stop it. Get some help.
All right, today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly, so contact him at localsilvermint.com. Taylor Cormier is on the board. Taylor, what is the poll question? What are the results?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is, did Trump make the right move by firing the Bureau of Labor and Statistics Commissioner?
Yes, he did.
87% say yes.
Yeah, and I saw Larry Summers today. Who now, every time I think Larry Summers, I think Epstein, because Trump keeps mentioning him in that regard. But he was talking about how, oh, you know, in all the same slogans or all the same kind of lines they use for fear mongering. This is the stuff of dictatorships, democracies being eroded, authoritarianism. She sucked at her job. She was getting the numbers. What kind of job is it if you get things off by like 100,000? What I know that works for Janet Yellen and for Paul Krugman and for people who actually enjoy being wrong more than they enjoy being right. But if you're trying to base an economy around these numbers, why would you want to rely on that? And one other thing I would add is that when I was listening to Larry Summers, he's like, it's inconceivable that a BLS commissioner could fudge these numbers. I'm at a point now in my life, after what we've lived through with 4 years of Joe Biden, the sharp, brilliant Joe Biden, with the COVID scam, with everything else we've witnessed, and now what we're finding out about the Obama Russiagate, I hate to tell Larry Summers this, but I don't think anything's inconceivable anymore. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I have a crazy imagination, but I can conceive of all of this. The BLS commissioner fudging the numbers. Guess what, Larry? I can conceive of it. I know you can't, but that's your problem. We'll be right back with Bradley
J. That's
the
context.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
I'm sick of the gerrymandering. But if Donald Trump is going to push to gerrymander Texas, he's going to break the rules in order to win. He can't win by the rules they are right now. So he thinks you should break the rules. For Democrats to sit back and just say, okay, we're going to play by the Queen's rules. No, I'm telling you right now, we need to win in the midterm. We need to stop him from cheating from lying and from stealing the election. And if they're doing something to add their congressional seats, we need to look at our ways of doing that right now.
Yeah, and this is Bonchi from Red State. He said, all of this is just so stupid. The proposed congressional map would be nowhere near as bad a gerrymander as the one in Illinois where these clowns ran off to. So it's very rich to see Pritzker playing a role in this. Governor Gavin Newsom has also tried to put himself at the forefront of this fight. But again, this map would still give Democrats a higher number of seats compared to the state's voter splits than California's ridiculous map, which gives Republicans only 9 seats. Joining us to discuss this and a host of other issues is Breitbart News' deputy politics editor, Bradley Jay. Bradley, give us your reaction to this move by Texas Democrats to flee the state, to deny Governor Greg Abbott a quorum, and to take a stand against this unfair, racist redistricting in Texas.
Well, Grace, nothing screams, we're fighting to save democracy, like going on a taxpayer-funded vacation, right? The whole thing is so ridiculous. And I think it's very important in this to note what happened in the lead-up to redistricting several years ago. The Republican Party was changing. Trump had already begun to reshape the party and change the electoral dynamics. Yet a lot of the Republican congressmen representing Texas were still very much in that old school establishment style. These folks were scared to death that they were going to lose their seats. So what the Texas state legislature did in fashioning these districts was to prioritize protection of incumbents so that these incumbents, frankly, wouldn't have to campaign that hard, as most incumbents don't truly want to do. So really what Texas is trying to do now is to do what I think would be a more accurate representation of where the voters in Texas are. If some of these lazy do-nothing congressmen, if that makes them have to actually get out and do some campaigning, you know what? I'm fine with that. They signed up for the job, and they shouldn't be afraid to do that.
Yeah, really well said. And the other part of this, and it's separate from what's going on in Texas, but it involves the same kind of gamesmanship, is what happened over the weekend with Senator Chuck Schumer and Donald Trump. So there's a lot of stalling. That seems to be the only thing right now that Democrats can do is obstruct. It reminds me of, you know, the protesters who they can't really make a great case, so they're just going to stop you in traffic from going to work. That is the Democrat Party right now. They're stopping Trump's nominees from going through. He's got 150 what he calls highly qualified nominees. They're refusing to pass those nominees or to take part in the process. And there was talk of a deal between, some people call it a deal, some people call it blackmail, Senator Chuck Schumer and President Trump, $1 billion for Democrats and their pet projects. What do we know about this? What do we know about this suggested $1 billion? And was it a good idea from Trump to say, we're not going to do this, we're just going to come back and change the rules? And Bradley, what would that look like, changing the rules to get these nominees through?
Well, look, I worked in the Senate for almost 7 years as a staffer. The Senate is a go-along, to get-along, congenial, good old boys club. It's always operated on horse trading, where a lot of the animosity that you see is just performative. There's always been an element of horse trading, but here's the deal. This is not your granddad's Republican Party, where GOP lawmakers are afraid to do anything. They'll justify their invitations to these liberal cocktail parties, all right? What Schumer is trying to do is to continue to block the quick confirmation of these nominees by trying to make a deal with Majority Leader Thune, saying, we'll let some of these go by if you'll ensure that we get billions of dollars in continued Obamacare subsidies, or we'll have a more bipartisan appropriations process, and you won't do any more rescissions packages. Well, so far, at least this is what President Trump is encouraging Republicans to do, is to hold the line. I think he is exactly right. But here's the deal. President Trump works all the time. He never stops. He never sleeps. I don't know how he does it on quarter pounders and Diet Coke, but he does. If the Republican Senate would actually work 5 days a week instead of just 2.5 days like it generally does, if they would stay and churn through those nominations, I don't think that this would be as big of an issue. The way that the Senate works, it works either by consent or by exhaustion. You either have to get everybody to agree to move something by unanimous consent, or you just have to tire people out until they give up and let you move things. So I am very pleased to see Trump encouraging these Republican senators to hold the line and get tough. But there is more that they can do. And that's, I think, starts with showing up to work 5 days a week.
Yeah. At the end of last week, switching gears here just a little bit, the BLS reported that 74,000 jobs were added in July. But I think what was even more frightening to people was just how off their other numbers were for the previous 2 months and the revisions downward. So the May gains were pared back by 125,000 to just 19,000 jobs. This is according to Fox Business, while the June figures were revised down by 133,000 to just 14,000 jobs added that month. Now, a lot of us, and we might not be economic experts, but we hear those numbers and we hear those miscalculations and we go, how the hell do you get it that wrong? Trump decided he was going to fire the BLS commissioner. That was Friday. I wanted to play a little bit of sound here from Larry Summers, who was on ABC this week over the weekend with George Stephanopoulos. And this is just some of the comments he made about this decision by Trump. This is Cut 14.
I mean, this is way beyond anything that Richard Nixon ever did. I'm surprised that other officials have not responded by resigning themselves, as took place when Richard Nixon fired people lawlessly. This is a preposterous charge. These numbers are put together by teams of literally hundreds of people following detailed procedures that are in manuals. There's no conceivable way that the head of the BLS could have manipulated this number. The numbers are in line with...
Oh my gosh, Bradley, there's hundreds of people who are coming out with these crappy numbers, and there's manuals involved. How dare Trump try to hold anyone responsible?
Well, how dare someone violate the manual? It's just egregious to think. Here's the bottom line. The numbers speak for themselves. And this BLS director has proven that she can't get the numbers right. And not just recently where she had to do this massive course correction, but in the lead up to the election, she grossly overstated the job gains and they ended up making Biden look like he had a much firmer hand on the economy than he actually did. Let's just be very charitable and say that this was not politically motivated. Well, then she's clearly incompetent. If the formulas that they operate on, if the manuals that they abide by religiously aren't getting it done, aren't giving us accurate numbers, then a true leader would say, you know what, this is not working. We've got to change things. But that's not what federal bureaucrats do. Here's the thing. This is a position that is appointed by the president. She is a Biden appointee. Trump has every right to tell her, you're not getting the job done. Hit the skids. I'm going to bring in my own person who will actually do the job right. And if this person does how I would imagine Trump would want this position to do, they will probably evolve how this process goes for getting at these numbers to update it for today's economy. I think this is a great move by the president.
Yeah, whenever I hear people lecturing me on how, you know, you shouldn't be concerned, this is political, there's procedures in place, I'm like, where have I heard that before? I feel like I've heard that for the last 10 years. And every single time it ends up being just a cesspool of corruption and just a bunch of people who are lying to us. And so I have no reason to believe the BLS commissioner is above board when it doesn't seem like anyone else in D.C. fits that bill. Bradley, I did want to, and I didn't throw this at you beforehand or let you know we're going to talk about this, but I know you reported on it before. Ghislaine Maxwell, she's in the news a lot. She seems to be offering terms in exchange for testifying. I know the deputy attorney general has asked her a lot of questions and spoken to her as of late. Where are we right now with Ghislaine Maxwell? And talk a little bit about this transfer. She was transferred to a different prison. Do I have that right? And what is the status?
So the deputy attorney general went down to Florida, where she was in prison, to speak to her for 2 days. Really wild that someone at that high level in the Department of Justice would travel down to speak with her. A few days later, she transferred to a different prison. Certainly, if there are characterizations of that prison as being far less restrictive, is there some type of negotiating going on right now for information? Well, it's difficult to say what those conversations are. They certainly haven't been made public, but it's very clear that as the courts have blocked President Trump and Attorney General Bondi's attempts to get more information released publicly from their files on the Epstein case, that the administration is now pursuing alternate means of getting that information. One of those seems to be through a testimony from Ghislaine Maxwell. After that is over, depending on how this shakes up with her testimony before DOJ, and that's an ongoing process, Congress wants a crack at her too. That won't happen until DOJ finishes their investigations, their talks with her. So it's an evolving situation. It suggests that the administration is sincere in their efforts to try to get more information from this case made public. Will that be enough to satisfy people? I don't know. But Democrats, it's amazing to watch how they found Jesus on this issue after 4 years of not caring about it. All of a sudden now they think that this is politically advantageous. And now all of a sudden the same crowd that has been ushering in millions and millions of undocumented, unvetted, many criminals from our southern border for years, all of a sudden now they care about vulnerable children. So it's really hypocritical and laughable to watch.
Yeah, and this hypocrisy is, it's just a current through everything that Democrats do. I saw just 15 minutes ago you posted, Bradley, about this gerrymandering of photo of a map of Illinois, and you said, just FYI to people, this is the state that they're fleeing to protest gerrymandering. And it's, I mean, the picture of this state and the way it's split up speaks for itself. But if you want to follow Bradley J on Twitter or on X, you can go to @BradleyAJ. It's J-A-Y-E. And also make sure you check out all of his work at Breitbart. He's covering all sorts of things. So he's covering Nancy Mace running for governor in South Carolina. He's covering Ghislaine Maxwell. There's nothing really that this guy can't do. So thank you, Bradley J. We appreciate your time. We hope to have you on again soon. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Russiagate, because I want to talk about the statute of limitations. As Jerry Seinfeld would say, it's statute. You don't want it. It's not statue. Kramer. We're going to talk about that when we come back, because there's an interesting update from John Ratcliffe, who's been doing a really good job on these weekend shows explaining how bad this looks for Brennan and Clapper. And there's also a piece in The Federalist that explains that they can't stop themselves. Like, every time, what's the first rule? You know, stop digging, stop the bleeding, just stop the bleeding. But not if you're John Brennan, not if you're James Comey. Instead, they're like, let me write something in the New York Times. I know I've lied about this before, but let me get it front page in. Let me get my ink out there and let people know that I stand by all these lies. It reminds me of Cuomo writing that book about COVID. It's like or OJ writing, what was the name of his book? If I Find the Killer, or if I Knew Who Did It or something, let me figure out who killed Nicole. I don't know. It's the same thing. It's like you're putting all this stuff down on paper. It's asinine. And we're going to discuss. The other day I received a nice compliment on my smile. I think it was If I Did It. If I Did It, I think was the name of that book. The other day I received a very nice compliment on my smile. Been getting quite a few of them as of late. As my smile gets straighter and, you know, my jaw's more aligned, I have been receiving some nice compliments. And, you know, Taylor, it feels good. I know you get them all the time, so you're used to this. But for someone who's not, you know, someone says, hey, you got beautiful teeth. I feel good. I got a little extra pep in my step.
I don't get as many compliments on my smile as you get on yours. It's just the overall appearance of me. Just drives people insane.
Drives the girls wild. Well, if you want some compliments on your smile, if you just want to feel better about your smile, because really it's how you feel about it that matters the most. And you have to look at it every day. You see it in the rearview mirror. You might have insecurities about it. You might just want a teeth cleaning. That might be something that you're kind of putting off. Call Perfect Smiles today. Get the ball rolling, because because you don't want to delay. It always seems like more of a process than it is. I'm a great example of that. I waited years to talk to Dr. Houghton about Invisalign. And by the time I got in there and asked him about it, I was getting a consultation and I was being set up for Invisalign within 20 minutes of the appointment. So my point here is, don't wait. Just do it today and you'll feel better about it. You'll get the momentum rolling. And before you know it, you'll be getting compliments on your smile as well. Don't wait an extra week or even an extra day. Call them today at 603-595-6699 or visit them at perfectsmiles.com. Again, that's 603-595-6699. And we'll be right back.
Statute of limitations. It's not a statue.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
So there will be more to come. And I think that, you know, people should expect that the Trump administration will continue to shed transparency and light and truth again, because there is no question. This was the greatest political scandal of our lifetime. No one wants to see this happen again.
That is current CIA Director John Ratcliffe. Something else John Ratcliffe has said over the last few days as the scandal has continued to evolve is that the statute of limitations doesn't start to run until the last act in the furtherance of that conspiracy. Now, the Federalist has a piece out by Brecken Thies, and it says, as current CIA Director John Ratcliffe pointed out, the statute of limitations doesn't start to run until the last act in furtherance of that conspiracy. And the two Russia hoaxers just restarted that clock on July 30th when they decided to pen an op-ed in the New York Times filled with even more lies and an apparent cover-up. I misspoke before. I said Clapper. I said Comey and Brennan. I meant Brennan and Clapper. And you might remember that when DNI Tulsi Gabbard first declassified some of these receipts, some of this information, some of these assessments, Clapper went right on TV and he talked about how he's already lawyered up. And you know, I was thinking about Taylor, if people thought I was guilty of something and I was doing TV hits, well, that would be my first thing. I would hope I'd have a lawyer. If I lawyered up, I'd hope I'd have a lawyer who would say, let's not do that anymore. We don't need to hear from you. Why don't you shut it down? Why don't you shut it down? Stop talking. That would be really hard for me. You, like, James Clapper thinks it's hard for him. That'd be hard for me. But the other thing I don't think I would do is I wouldn't describe anything as lawyered up. Like, it just sounds guilty. It's okay for me. I can sit here and say, James Clapper, all these guys, they've lawyered up. They know they're in trouble. They know they're up against it. But if I'm James Clapper's lawyer, I wouldn't suggest going on TV and saying, I lawyered up. I mean, I guess that's what you have to do in this situation. It just sounds guilty.
And that's what they say all the time about people that they're prosecuting. If they get a lawyer, oh, what do you need a lawyer for? You know, what are you, guilty?
Yeah, right. It says, in their op-ed, Brennan and Clapper falsely claimed that the infamous Steele dossier, which is a document filled with fabrications and slander against Trump, was never included as a source for their intelligence community assessment scheme. We have testified under oath and the reviews of the assessment have confirmed that the dossier was not used as a source or taken into account for any of its analysis or conclusions, except that is not true. Sure, they testified as much under oath, but the Steele dossier was the foundation of the FBI's counterintelligence investigation into the Trump campaign. I'm starting to think these guys think they can just lie their way out of it with the help of the mainstream media. I'm not so sure it's going to work this time around. There's some new people in charge. We'll be right back.